Sally Shortall, you're from Queens and you're here at the Use of Evidence and Policy Making session that's kind of running in the Carnegie Library. Tell us a little bit about your interest in the area and what you're going to be saying.
Sure. Back in 2008, 2009, I got an Economic and Social Research Council award to spend a year as a knowledge transfer fellow in the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development here. And that placed me in a policy environment, and my task was to provide them with evidence to underpin their rural policies. And it sounds really straightforward and a good task. And it was only then that I started to realise actually what a messy job it is to try and provide evidence to inform policy, because there's lots of other factors involved. So when I went back to Queen's, I had a kind of renewed commitment to try to encourage colleagues to think about providing our research in a way that was useful to community groups, to policymakers, to politicians. And then I worked with a colleague, Eileen Regan, in the Assembly to set up the Knowledge Exchange Seminar Series. So it's kind of been developing since my initial time in Dard in 2008.
Is it unfair to say that there's a suspicion that a lot of policy is made based on prejudice and a few examples and hunches and sometimes common sense, but not often backed by actually rigorous evidence that says, you know, this leads to this, leads to this, these numbers say there's a gap here which needs filled? Is that fair?
Well, I think that was certainly what motivated the two Blair governments to have this very strong commitment to having evidence-informed policy. And a lot of the drive came from that time when, you know, they set up evidence-informing units and were very much committed to having evidence-informed policy. But as you say, there are lots of other factors to consider in the policy-making process. And while, you know, Tony Blair championed this evidence-informed policy, he has apologised for making decisions about Iraq that were completely unfounded on evidence, even though he tried to persuade us at the time that they were. So there are politicians want to be re-elected. People want to introduce policies that are palatable with the public. So there's absolutely no evidence to show that increased police presence prevents crime, but it reassures the public after something has happened. So people do that, even though the evidence shows it doesn't matter.
And so, is that a need to actually, the existing evidence needs to be kind of better explained so that the public realise that this is a kind of a false security that they're doing? Or is it about actually that the evidence isn't there, or that the evidence has never been kind of collated and given in?
I think it's more complex than that. I think sometimes the evidence is unpalatable. It's not what people want to hear. Also, I think, you know, a lot of our policies and our politicians are driven by ideology and values, and that's right. We elect governments and people on the basis of what ought to be, how we want our society to look, and that's about a commitment, which isn't necessarily evidence-based. It's more ideologically driven, and that's part of the component of what type of a society we want to have.
Could you think of examples locally in Northern Ireland where either there's been like a bit of a lack of evidence, or where evidence has actually been used properly as part of consultation and as part of coming up with good policies?
That's really interesting.
Or wider than
Northern Ireland too. You know, there was one of the really interesting knowledge exchange seminar series presented work looking at teenagers and alcohol consumption. And what was interesting about it was that sometimes we presume there's a right answer out there that's going to deliver, you know, the perfect policy, when it's messier than that. And it was actually colleagues of mine. One was presenting evidence that showed the kind of evils of teenage drinking. The other presented evidence that showed if teenagers drink with their peer group and it's sensible drinking, that they're much more likely to have responsible alcohol consumption patterns. Yeah. So even if they are underage when they're doing that, but develop the right habits, that actually it can lead to better consumption practice.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see that there's actually a willingness within government departments, within local government departments and other organisations to actually take evidence based policymaking seriously and not just give it kind of the lip service?
I do think there is that, and I think the Knowledge Exchange Seminar Series has really demonstrated that, and people are interested in trying to ensure that they are making evidence-informed policies, especially in the current climate with all of the cuts.
Thank you very much.
You're very